everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my pal, Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I feel left out. Just didn't get the snow event up at our place. And I see all the pictures all over Facebook, all my friends posting, even a snowman somebody built a snowman on the mall at the U of A.
You're backed up to the Catalinas,
yes.
So maybe
the
frontage part of the Catalinas was protecting you in some way? Because you were high enough, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we would have been high enough. Certainly driving in to the lower elevations, there was snow, and everybody kind of had a snow event. But, you know, even if we had had a snow event, Tom, I would have slept through it. So, but when I woke up, there was no snow on the ground when I could see it at 6:30 or so. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. It's Wednesday, the middle of February, the 15th of February, 2023. Our show now in its 13th year, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our telephone interviews, our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is also a professor of medicine and public health. She's internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and pioneering change efforts that solve the U.S. healthcare system problems. She's the author, editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mazes co-hosts a podcast, Body of Wonder, with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow Dr. Mazes on Twitter at Dr. Mazes or find her at azcim.org. Dr. Mazes, how are you on what some found to be a snowy morning?
I didn't get any snow either. Good morning. I only had snow at a distance on the mountains, which is beautiful, but I didn't get to play with it.
Yeah, we didn't get to play with it, but maybe next time. Can a workplace influence your physical and mental health? Well, apparently, to that question, according to one of your colleagues.
Yes, it's such an important question, especially since, of course, during the COVID pandemic, many of us left our offices, left our places of work, worked from home. And now a lot of people are saying, is that workplace healthy for me? Could it be healthier? Are there ways to make it healthier? And so our research director, Dr. Esther Sternberg, has been focused on the health of both indoor and outdoor environments. We have an institute on place, well-being, and performance that we share with the College of Architecture. And in her work, she looks really, really broadly. So, for example, she looks at questions like airflow, which we all started hearing about during the pandemic. How much ventilation is there? Because the higher the rate of ventilation, the more you're going to pick up those viruses and get rid of them from the building. What's the temperature and the humidity in the building? How much noise is there? Do you have a view? Do you have natural light or artificial light? What kind of building materials are in the building? Are they off-gassing? So do you have a shared workspace, a common workspace, or do you have a private office? These are all such interesting questions that affect our health.
Well, you would think working in a very quiet environment, maybe even like a library quiet, would be the best for concentrating. But according to Esther Sternberg, that's not always the case and isn't the case.
Yeah. One of the things that Dr. Sternberg found is that when you're in a very silent place and then there's a little bit of noise, it can distract you. So actually your focus tends to be better in a place where there's a little bit of low, steady background noise. She gives the example of people who love to work in a coffee shop. There's always a little bit of background noise in a coffee shop, and it sometimes can merge together to become this little hum that actually helps us be more focused at our work.
So that's why so many people like to go to work at a coffee shop. I mean, you see so many people with their laptops and they're working at the coffee shop. So maybe it's better to be working there than in a kind of a library environment at the office.
Yeah, so she actually measures the volume of sound. This is a research project that she carried out in four different buildings where workers were asked to wear a wearable device for 3 days. And they had regular pings that asked them questions about how they were feeling. And what they found was that when the level of sound was above 50 decibels, 50 decibels is not very loud. It's kind of the sound of rain, you know, of a light rain falling, that could lead to a decrease in overall sense of well-being. And each 10 decibel increase further reduced people's well-being by about 2%. But when the sound in the office was less than 50 decibels, so, you know, either right at that light rainfall or even quieter, it led to a 5% increase in their overall well-being as they were asked over the course of these days that they were measured.
It really is a fascinating area of research, this larger project that she was in. The new study was called Well Built for Well-Being. And a couple of years ago, she was looking at open office space. And that was that was an interesting study as well. We should probably maybe highlight a few of those points.
Yeah, so I think that people might believe that being in a completely private space where you're not interrupted, where you don't overhear other people's voice, you know, doing their work, would be the best. But it turns out it's not the best, that actually having a shared workspace leads to better overall health, and not only better all health in the daytime when people are at work, but actually lower levels of stress and better sleep during the night, you know, way after someone has left that office space.
Hmm. You know, getting back to the sound survey, what was the piece of that the heartbeat was involved in this? Could you kind of explain that heart rate variability?
Yes. So one of the ways we measure people's overall sense of well-being is with a measure called heart rate variability. So it might seem that you want a perfectly regular heartbeat, like say your heart beats at 60 beats a minute, that every second it would go, you know, boom, boom, boom. But it turns out that that's not the healthiest heartbeat. The healthiest has a little bit of what we call beat to beat variability. So it increases and decreases a little with your inhalation and exhalation. So when you inhale, your diaphragm drops and actually your heart rate increases a bit because there's kind of more room for the heart to fill with blood and for it to then, with its muscular ability, push the blood out. And when you exhale, your heart rate decreases just a bit, and that makes a little bit less space in the chest. And so because of this inhalation and exhalation, we get a little bit of variability. And the more variability there is, usually the healthier the person is. Mm. So there are wearable devices that don't just measure your total heartbeat, but actually measure that heart rate variability. And it's one of the ways that we can say, yes, this person is doing quite well, is healthy, or this person we're a little more concerned about.
Hmm. Well, having Dr. Sternberg as a great resource for you at the Weill Center for Integrative Medicine, I would think that Dr. Sternberg may be weighing in as you all design your new center.
So indeed, Dr. Sternberg was on our committee. We had a really wonderful committee, and she came to us from the NIH, the National Institutes of Health. She had been there for 27 years before we recruited her to be our research director. And when she came, she already had a relationship with a man named Kevin Campshire, who was the director of high-performance federal buildings. And so Kevin also served on our building advisory committee. And so we were very conscious of the design of our building in terms of the things we've been talking about, the overall level of sound, the value of shared workspace, the importance of views, the importance of a view that shows you the natural world, having natural light come into the space. All of these things really matter, and we were able to incorporate these as well as green building materials as we designed our new building.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing that when the new building is up and running, and that's not that far away, is it?
Nope, 11 months and counting.
There you go. All right, stick around. Let's talk about chocolate and sugar and things like that now that Valentine's Day is over. And let's talk about, that's a great segue, into Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. And I've been rediscovering one of my favorite items at Mona's, and that would be his cinnamon rolls. Anyway, Mona's open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. They are closed Monday. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Great redesign of the website. Steve and the team really put it all together on the website. Some beautiful pictures to tempt you about all of the wonderful menu items and the breads and the pastries. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. More with Dr. Mazes right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006. And the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios after this very cold night ahead of us. I think things will be to the point where we can really start thinking about putting some beautiful color in our gardens. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business is zocalovillage.com. All that beautiful, they've got some wonderful Talavera pottery, beautiful handcrafted items from Mexico and Latin America. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We continue our conversation with our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, who's the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She's also a professor of medicine and public health. Well, we have all heard about the research, Dr. Mazes, that consuming dark chocolate may have several health benefits, including lower blood pressure, better cholesterol levels, and a reduced risk of heart disease. Now there are some red flags, let's call them potential red flags, popping up about consuming very dark chocolate.
Yeah, I have to say, I hate this news.
Yeah.
I love dark chocolate. And I often, when I speak to audiences, it's like, this is the piece of good news, right?
Yes.
That dark chocolate is full of antioxidants. And as you said, it can lower blood pressure. It really can be part of a healthy diet. And now we have a Consumer Report investigation, which actually followed on a study that the FDA did back in 2018 that shows that there are two dangerous metals that are in dark chocolate, lead and cadmium.
Whoa. Is this going to change the way we view having that? Perhaps some folks like to consume a piece of dark chocolate every day.
Well, I think peace is probably going to be okay. There are recommended safe limits of how much of these metals, cadmium and lead, you know, that you can get. And in general, it's felt that a 1 ounce serving is probably safe for most people, not for pregnant women, not for young children, because babies in particular and a fetus are uniquely susceptible to lead. Their nervous system is developing, and even, you know, these trace amounts of lead can be a problem. Similarly, you know, cadmium can cause a variety of problems like fragile bones and kidney damage, lung damage. So we really don't want people to eat large amounts of dark chocolate. You start to get your health benefits for about a third of an ounce. But the other thing is that there are better and worse choices in your dark chocolate. So I'm just going to name some names. For example, Ghirardelli Chocolate Intense Dark Twilight Delight, that's a very long name, with 72% cacao, had very, very low lead and cadmium levels. Or Lindt Excellence Dark with a touch of sea salt, again, very low lead and cadmium. So those would be safer choices. And if you love your chocolate like I do, there is a website that has, I think, hundreds of different chocolates that are on it. And you can take a look and see how your favorite chocolate does, or possibly pick a different one. The website is As You Sow, kind of like, you know, you sow what you reap. As You Sow. So S-O-W. That's a nonprofit organization that looks at the amounts of cadmium and lead in chocolate.
Why are we just now kind of hearing about this?
I think that's a really good question, because actually the industry has known for quite some time that this could be an issue. And let me just say also that As You Sow is putting some pressure on manufacturers because there are ways in which they can do better. They're different for cadmium and lead. So cadmium, as an example, is a heavy metal. It's taken up by the roots of the cacao trees and it's deposited in the fruit. You can reduce the amount of cadmium that's taken up by the roots either by changing the pH of the soil. There's ways to do that, for example, with our fertilizers. Fertilizers sometimes have heavy metals in them, so we can be careful about that. We could be careful about the water we're using to irrigate. Again, some water is more contaminated with lead and cadmium than others. So those are some of your cadmium options. With lead, it's actually quite different. The lead contamination happens after the beans are removed from the pod. So it's really more in the harvesting process. You remove the beans and they've got this sticky mucilage on them. And usually they're fermented and dried, sometimes on the ground or on the side of the road. So as cars drive by, those cars may have diesel fuel, leaded gasoline, there could be things being burnt nearby, like plastics or garbage. All of these things put lead in the air, and that air gets mixed with dust, and it sticks to the beans. So there, if we can change the way we dry the beans, ferment the beans, so that the beans don't get contaminated with lead during this process, that would really reduce the amount of lead that's in chocolate.
You know, some may think, well, maybe I'll transition to milk chocolate, but again, if you do that, you're going to kind of lose the benefits of the dark, right?
So you're right. Milk chocolate is going to have much less cadmium or lead, but that's because it has less cacao. So that's the antioxidant-rich component. But I would say that from a perspective of like giving chocolate to children, for example, the milk chocolate is going to be a better choice because there is going to be less of this lead and cadmium. You're not going to have to worry as much. And of course, dark chocolate is bitter and children usually prefer sweet. So they're going to be happy about that decision too.
Yeah, speaking of kids and sweet stuff, limiting sugar in school meals, there's going to be some new rules on this for the first time.
Yes, and I want to say this is really significant. So the first time there is going to be a standard that limits added sugar. So, you know, as we both know, there can be natural sugar, for example, in fruit or milk. Is lactose as a milk sugar? That's a natural sugar. And then there's all the added sugar when we put cane sugar or some other kind of sugar on breakfast cereal, for example. So they are going to really reduce the amount that's allowed by 2029. So the schools will have some time to do it. They're supposed to begin in the 2025-2026 school year, first of all, with high sugar foods like cereal, yogurt, and flavored milks. And they're also going to need to limit sodium. So this is really a significant and I think very positive development because a lot of children get a substantial amount of their nutritional content from schools. And I think we need to do a good job making that food healthier.
Yeah, because many kids actually, the meal they get outside the home, the most important meal, may be the lunch meal with the highest nutritional value, Dr. Mazes.
That's exactly right. And not only do kids get school lunches, but a lot of kids also get school breakfasts. So reducing the added sugar, remember added, so this isn't what's in your orange or your apple or blueberries or grapes or anything like that, to less than 10% of the total calories per week for breakfast and lunch. So they're kind of saying like, well, maybe once a week the kids can have a treat, but we don't want that treat to be every meal every day. They're also going to gradually move to whole grain as opposed to, you know, some of the grains that they're currently using. Again, that is processed differently by the body, so it's taken up more slowly. It's not transformed as quickly into blood sugar. It's really a healthier choice for kids.
And we quickly about salt. Were there some limits on that as well, please?
Yes. So that is the second really significant change to the school lunch, is that they are going to have to reduce the amount of sodium, and the amounts are going to be dropped by about 30% by the fall of 2029. They'll drop them gradually. Right now, they're allowed about 1,280 milligrams of sodium per lunch for high school kids, and it's going to drop to about 935 milligrams. Now, to just give you a sense of what that means, if you eat a turkey sandwich that's got some mustard on it and some cheese, that could have 1,500 milligrams of sodium. So with the new standards, it would have to have less than that. There would have to be some mustard or cheese that had less salt. And the hope is that this is going to reduce these changes, the less sugar and the lower sodium, will reduce high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, and really help kids be healthier.
All right, Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. That's encouraging news, certainly, about the kids and their lunch and breakfast at school. Thank you very much. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you interested in sailing on an all-inclusive luxury cruise, trekking on an expedition adventure, or relaxing on a tropical beach? Then join us on February 26th at the Hilton El Conquistador as Bon Voyage Travel hosts our free travel showcase. Over 35 representatives from the world's best travel brands will be on hand to help you discover all the world has to offer. The Bon Voyage Travel Showcase, February 26th. Be sure to visit bvtravel.com for more information.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau, serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back, Southern Arizona, to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Time for insider travel talk on our program with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts standing by now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley, and Oro Valley. Their website, a really great website, bvtravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Joining us on the live line, Mr. Ryan Hansen. Time for our preview show of the big upcoming travel showcase. Rhino, how are you?
Bill, great to talk to you about travel, and boy, is it a busy time in travel. People are really excited about getting back out. Those that had trips taken away from the pandemic are now not just revisiting that one trip. They're doubling down, and they're saying, we're not going to miss out on that trip. We're going to take another one, too. So hopefully the timing of our travel showcase for your listeners is right on time for them as they are maybe looking for some inspiration or trying to think about where are we headed to next. And this is probably the best time and best place in Tucson to go. On the 26th of February at the Hilton El Conquistador, we're going to have over 40 of our best partners in the industry, ranging from our top cruise partners to hoteliers to land operators. And of course, you and I will also be there to talk one of our favorite topics of travel and maybe get some inspiration to those that are in attendance.
Yeah, and there will be people coming, I know, to the travel show who love to travel, but they are not quite sure, Ryan Hansen, what is next on the bucket list?
Well, and that is the key. And you may have some ideas as a traveler of, I love food, or I love sun and sand, or I love history, I want culture, I want architecture, or like you and I, probably a little bit of everything included into that. And this is where you want to come. And there's a couple different ways to experience the travel showcase. We have a typical trade show floor with all of our partners having a separate booth with a representative from their company side by side with someone from Bon Voyage standing there to help tell you about the different cruise lines and where they go and how they get there and what the experience is like, where you can talk one-on-one with those partners. But then throughout the day, from 11 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we will have different breakout rooms for 20-minute presentations. So if you have heard about Silver Sea Cruises, probably from our show, because you and I talk about Silver Sea quite a bit, and they have a really unique expedition cruise ship product that I think people might want to learn a little bit more about. At 11:25, for 20 minutes, you can go into the Coronado 2 room, and don't take notes. You can get to our website and see all this information on the website, but you can find out a whole lot more as a presentation will give you a taste of what Silver Sea Expeditions is all about. And every other supplier partner will also have a similar presentation time littered throughout the day.
I love setting the stage, setting the table at the travel show. And we did this last year. We're going to reprise this and do it again at 11 o'clock, right? We're going to kick things off.
Yeah, you are probably, in my travels and my experience, one of the most well-traveled people that I know. And so we feel like this is such a great marriage for the two of us to be together. We get to talk travel once a month on your show for just a short bit, but this gives us a little bit more of a captive audience. So right, the very first presentation to start the day at 11 o'clock, you and I are going to talk travel trends, the benefits of utilizing a travel advisor, hit on some of Bill's favorite destinations, and maybe even touch on some that are on your bucket list. Bill, do you have either a top destination or a bucket list destination you want to tease the audience with that you're going to talk a little bit more about on the at the show?
Probably going to be teasing an area that I like very much that is in the Atlantic Ocean. How's that?
Oh, I like it. So you're getting somebody thinking, oh, what could be in the Atlantic Ocean? Well, you have to come to the show, right, to get all of the details. And Bill, you've obviously got a trip planned, and you typically have great trips coming up. Mm-hmm. And so we can talk about that destination and where you'll be later on this year and joining the show and helping us out. But it's a tremendous opportunity. I'll touch on some of the different travel trends, kind of post-COVID. How is the world of travel treating you now? And there were pandemic policies and rules and protocols and government laws that you had to follow through if you were going to go international or even traveling within the United States. I'll touch on those a little bit to give people a feel for what's life now in 2023 like for the traveler globally.
Yeah, and we're going to contrast, Rhino, what it was like. Well, we all know things 3 years ago, almost to the month, February, March, of course, began the downturn, and how things have changed travel-wise and the trends that have emerged, Ryan Hansen, out of the pandemic.
Yeah, some of the different areas we'll touch and focus on would be some of the technology enhancements that have made travel easier in some respects. And maybe as a traveler, you question if it's easier, but we're going to talk through why it's easier. And we'll even and spread our differences and how it's evolved and changed even beyond pre-pandemic. We're going to go back to a little bit of the yesteryear of travel and, mm-hmm. and maybe have the renaissance of the 70s and 80s of what travel was like and how those technology enhancements, how the traveler views flying and hotel stays and what cruise lines look like. What does adventure travel look like in 2023 versus what it looked like maybe in 1979? And so I want to touch on some of those emerging trends and why people travel as well. You and I love to talk about the why behind someone's travel, because that is really at the heart of your experience. It's not just, I want a passport stamp anymore. You're trying to reach or touch on a passion, or like we mentioned, some of those other heritage tours, either it be a religious type tour or a family ancestral tour where you want to go back and visit the yesteryear of your ancestors and where your heritage is from. Those passions are great touch points, and we'll dive into a little bit of how you do that, but also, you know, maybe touch on some things and you go, man, I never thought of traveling for those reasons. That's an inspirational point for you to touch on and why you would want to come and sit in on our presentation.
Well, we went to Ireland a couple of decades ago, the homeland for us, my mom's maiden name, Regan, very Irish, and it felt so like home when I went to Ireland. And I know you did the heritage thing to Scandinavia.
I absolutely did. Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N, could go one of two ways, right? Most people take the guess, and they typically guess wrong. I am Danish, is the heritage. And so tracing back the roots, my father's, my uncle, actually, so it's my father's brother, has done the deep dive, as many of us have one family member that's done all the research, and they know, and we can trace back to the 1400s, the village where my ancestors were raised in Denmark. And so I've done that tour. And one short, quick story, Bill, I know I've told it in the past with you, maybe off air, but for the first time, my family was going to Copenhagen. And I told my dad, I wish he could have come with us, but it was me, my wife, and my two boys. And I said, gosh, I wonder if when I step foot in Denmark, there'll be confetti guns that go off or something, like they'll know that I'm back or I'm there for the first time. And I kid you not, I was checking in at the airport with my passport as we had touched down in Copenhagen, going through border control and the customs agent, which, you know, they never say hi. It's very businesslike, very formal. I hand the passports to the customs agent, and he flips through the page and he goes, Hansen, it's a very Danish name. And I said, well, I am Danish. Mm-hmm. Stamps my passports, hand them back to me, and looks at me and says, welcome home.
Oh.
And oh my goodness, that was as good as I needed, as good as a confetti gun. And so that yearning to be, you know, back where my family was raised and where my heritage is from really did resonate that day when I was told welcome home by a fellow Dane there in Copenhagen. And so I'm sure that other listeners have similar stories stories, and maybe they haven't. Maybe it's time to start doing that research and connecting the dots and then making that trek.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit about river cruising. That'll be one of the highlights at the Travel Show. When we continue with the Buckmaster Show and Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen, right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster here in the driver's seat telling you this would be a great time to start planning for a weekend getaway or even longer over to Southwest New Mexico. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico would make a great springtime getaway. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning now. There you will find on the website all sorts of great activities, many outdoors and some great indoor activities as well. Great places to stay and dine. Again, southwestnewmexico.org for Silver City, which is only about a three-hour drive from Tucson and Grant County, New Mexico. We're talking travel. It's Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. We're talking about, we're previewing the Hilton El Conquistador venue for the Bon Voyage Travel Show, and it is free. And there are 35 different travel-related vendors taking part in the show. Just putting that kind of a show together is not something you do overnight, is it, Rhino?
You don't do it overnight. You don't do it all the time either, right? When you have that many many partners of ours coming in and expecting a great turnout from a traveler standpoint as well. So go to bvtravel.com. Check out all the different partners that are going to be there, and you would behoove yourself to RSVP. It is free, so there's no fee required. But if you RSVP, that helps you skip the registration line when you get there. You can just breeze right past the check-in, grab your bag. That way you can start collecting the different brochures and materials from the supplier partners that you want to talk to.
I would venture to say many that will be showing up for the travel show are interested in river cruising. It's one of the hottest areas of the travel sector.
Continues to be very, very popular, and it bridges the gap for a number of reasons. And a couple of things about river cruising. If you've never been on a cruise, and maybe your reasons are you get claustrophobic, you get seasick, you can't see yourself on a cruise ship where I want to go and I want to do and I want to experience. So is river cruising for me? Well, you want to come to River Cruise 101 on Sunday the 26th. I will give an unedited, unbiased, unfiltered view of river cruising, and I'm going to talk about the pros of river cruising, the cons of river cruising, what to expect, because let's get real, every vacation isn't perfect. There are things that you may have to compromise, or you may, if I knew going in, fill in the blank, it mm-hmm. would have been a better experience. That's mm-hmm. my role in my job in this presentation, is to tell you so that you know what to expect when you board a river cruise ship, and what are the differences between river cruising and ocean cruising, river cruising and just doing it on land by myself, being in a group setting versus do I have flexibility to do what I want to do? And then you start to, okay, I think I can do this. Well, then which river do I go on? Are there major differences between the Rhine, the Danube, the Mekong in Asia? Well, sure, there's lots of differences from my perspective, but you as a traveler, you probably don't know those subtle differences. And if you knew, maybe that would lead you to a better decision. So those are the topics and things in the River Cruise presentation, in addition to I will talk about all the pros and cons of the different cruise lines and why maybe everyone's heard of Viking Cruise Line. They do a great job in the marketplace. In fact, Bill, you may not realize this, but 52% of all river cruise ship beds are on a Viking cruise.
Really?
So they dominate the market. But they're not the only choice, and that would be something that maybe you've seen the commercials on Downton Abbey for Viking River Cruises, or if you've heard about it from a friend, and you think that's the only river cruise out there, but there's different choices for the different experiences, and that's what you have to remember in travel. You hear a lot from your friends or your colleagues at work, oh, you've got to go here, you've got to do this cruise. Well, think about it. You and your spouse or your traveling partner, you probably have some specific things that you really like and maybe some things that you really don't like. Mm-hmm. And that's different from your coworker or your family friend that is recommending or suggesting something. So this is what I do in River Cruise 101. I tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly, and make you the person that is the educated decision maker on where you want to go on the rivers.
You're also involved with an Alaska presence. Could you kind of preview that for us, Ryan Hansen?
In very much the same vein, people have heard and say, oh, I want to go on Alaska cruise. In fact, Bill, it is by far the number one first-time cruiser destination in the world is going to on an Alaska cruise. And maybe you've been on an Alaska cruise. This is very similar to river. Or maybe you have heard about it. And you just want to know a little bit more. What's different about an Alaska cruise versus a Caribbean cruise? What's different from a Princess cruise to a Holland America cruise? Or I've heard about these inside passage cruises or one-way trips. What's best for me? What is the best cruise to go on? Well, that's the point. It's what's best for you. So in the same vein that I go through all of the pros and cons and good things and things to expect on the rivers in the river cruise presentation, I'll do the same thing and kind of present the best way to experience Alaska, which is personal, and I'll go through different ways in which you can do that. So this is not just a Princess cruise presentation or a Holland America cruise presentation or Celebrity or Royal or Norwegian or maybe not cruise at all. Maybe you want to go on Rocky Mountaineer and go on the rail trip. Maybe you just want to do it on land altogether and just go straight into Denali. I'll touch on all of those different ways because you don't want to mess that up. You don't want to just take your friend's recommendation to go on a cruise or a land trip. You want to understand it better. That's what we're here to do.
You know, one of my favorite photographers, and I've told Rocky LaRose this, that I think when it comes to wildlife photography, I think she is the finest wildlife photographer working right now that in the world. But, you know, I'm sure there would be people that would disagree with it. She's going to be at the travel show.
She will. And why is she at the show? Not just to showcase some of her pictures, of course, Bill. She does. It's an amazing thing. And if you don't know who Rocky LaRose is, or you've heard that name before and you say, how do I know this person? She's a former University of Arizona Athletics Department staff member who worked her way up from being a softball player, a student athlete in the late 70s, to being the softball coach, to being in the athletics department, fundraising and working with student athletes, all the way to deputy athletic director. She's done it all in the athletics department. She has retired in the recent past and has taken her passion of photography, which is a lifelong passion, to new heights. And you touched on it. She is a world-renowned, recognized photographer, mm-hmm. and she is going on a sponsored cruise from Bon Voyage Travel to Alaska in August on a cruise line called Seabourn. And so if you want to hear more about that, Rocky's going to talk on ship about some of her athletics department stories, the great stories from the past of her interactions with the former athletic directors Cedric Dempsey and Jim Livengood, and maybe some stories about Lute Olson and Dick Tomey and Mike Andrea. It's going to be a really fun sports conversations, but just as important, and maybe more important, she's going to be leading the charge on the shore excursions for our group only from a photographer's perspective. And we'll be showcasing some of her pictures. And you can follow her on Facebook. If you want to go to Rocky LaRose's Facebook page, you can see some of the unbelievable photos that she is getting on magazine covers and recognized all over the world. So if you have an interest in sports or photography or travel or cruise or Alaska or all of the above, that would be a great opportunity to come hear from Rocky herself about what that cruise experience is going to be like with her as the host.
And some of her pictures from Alaska of the grizzly bears and the snowy owls and from the Yukon. It's just amazing. She's a great photographer. So
you can travel with her and be side by side taking pictures right next to the award-winning photographer herself. So that'll be fun.
All right. Let's recap what folks need to know. Perhaps they're, you know, I like to think of the noon show as a kind of a mini drive time. People are in and out of the car. They're going to meetings. Let's talk about the particulars of what's going to happen a week from Sunday.
Yeah, February 26th. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. is our travel showcase. Bon Voyage Travel is hosting the showcase with over 35 of our supplier partners, ranging from cruise to land to hotel, in the ballrooms of the El Conquistador Hotel, the Hilton El Conquistador. The best way to learn a little bit more and to understand what the day looks like is to go to our website, bvtravel.com. You'll click on the top bar. There's a yellow bar at the top that says 2023 Travel Showcase. You'll click on that, and on that landing page, you'll see a video that can kind of show you what the look and feel is, what to expect, and it will also detail the presentation schedule, which might be the most important thing to know before you come to the show, because I'd hate for you to get there at 1 and realize, oh my gosh, Bill and Rhino were on at 11. I should have been there to see them at 11
yes.
o'clock. So you'll want to get your schedule squared away. And then last but not least, RSVP, so you can skip the registration line and go right into talking travel with all of our great partners.
Love talking travel with you. Look forward to talking travel a week from Sunday. Thank you, Rhino.
Thanks, Bill. See you soon.
All right. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom on the other side of the glass, Ryan Hansen, and Bill Buckmaster saying have a great day.